Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the latest Walkabout Talk About. I'm here today with Arturo Perez, who works at Kludge Interactive, the creators of Synthriders, as well as some other stuff that he'll be telling us about. So, Arturo, I'll let you intro yourself way better than I can. So, yeah, go for it.
Sounds good. Thank you. Yeah, Kludge actually started, you can say, in the early 2000s as a as a music magazine. So music was always in our DNA. But then really the incarnation that we are today kind of went from 2007 as a design studio. And then we stayed, we did a lot of UX and web design and web applications. And then in 2020, I think is when we fully became the VR game studio we are today.
Okay.
So it was it's been a while. It's been a bit of a journey.
Very cool. And so because you started off early on, so you were like, VR is actually fairly recent for you guys then.
Yes.
When did Synthriders come out, by the way?
Well, Synthriders actually did get started in 2017 as a prototype. So our idea was like, oh, we need to do something to show off our VR skills. And so we were prototyping these games, and then Synthriders stuck. By 2018, we knew that was basically the only game we had in development at that time.
Okay, very cool. So yeah, I mean, I think that Walkabout started probably about the same time. Also, yeah, prototype, sort of like just playing around with it. So yeah, and then, but then it launched in, was it 2019?
Well, actually, I think 2018, it is when it launched.
Okay, but on the Rift it would have been?
Yeah, it was Steam, and it was, okay. I think we had 11 updates on Steam before we launched on Quest on October of 2019.
Okay, but yeah, you guys, it's funny because I come from the visual effects and animation world, and there's so much crossover, sort of like that early days of just sort of like, you forget sort of like, for those of us who are sort of living it day in and day out, we often forget that, like, oh yeah, this has only been around for like 4, maybe 5 years for the most part. So yeah. But so we were talking a little bit beforehand, and you guys are doing quite a bit more than just Synthriders as well. Do you want to maybe talk about some of the other projects that you guys are working on?
Yeah, we're working, our follow-up to Synthriders is a technical fighting game, or Street Fighter for VR is our North Star. Which has been very exciting. It's quite a left turn, you know. Like, at first we're like, oh, let's do another music game. But my co-founder Abraham, who's the guy who made Synthriders, our creative director, he really loves fighting games. So we got into that genre, and so we're working on that in active development right now. It's been 3 years in the making, so it hasn't been easy. And then, so because we come from an agency background, we also have like a work for hire side, and we're making VR games there as well.
Okay, very cool. And yeah, Mighty Coconut was work for hire, mostly on the visual effects and animation side of things. So I know that world very well as well. So I'm kind of curious to pick your brain a little bit. This is just me selfishly. How do you find balancing? Because Synthriders is a very active thing. Like, you just released the Shangri-La track a couple of days ago, but you guys are doing constant updates. How do you find that as a studio, balancing multiple projects kind of all going on at the same time in house? How do you manage that and prioritize that stuff?
Well, part of it was because we were an agency as our inception. And so Synthriders comes out of a thing we call labs. And so it already had like that studio split of people and teams. And the people that are working on the work for hire side are, the core of it is the original people that did the work for hire stuff, the services side on the agency side. So it was like a natural transition. And basically we now have three teams split up, the Synthriders team, the Final Fury team, and the guys doing essentially Horizon work.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I have to say that just for us too, that even though we're really, really focused on Walkabout, we're doing so many different things within Walkabout that having that agency, or, you know, just sort of like that work for hire background, we were used to running, you know, 6, 7, sometimes even more than that jobs simultaneously, which there's I can see that being a challenge for a lot of more traditional game studios, perhaps, that are used to just like one big AAA title that everyone's working on. Maybe you've got one in development or something like that. So that's pretty cool. So I'm curious to find out a little bit more about sort of like, so Synth Riders launched in 2018. What has been sort of like the kind of like the growth and like the evolution, because you've also been sort of seeing VR essentially sort of kind of grow up. What's that kind of journey been like for you guys?
Well, I think, when we started developing was in 2017, and it was the wrong year. I don't know if you recall, but that was the year where like all investors stopped caring about VR. It became a joke. And, if we said that out loud to our enterprise peers or, the other agencies that were around us, they were like, what are you doing? but now I think in 2019, when the Quest came out, I think that was the game changer, and we were very happy when we saw those numbers at first. But I remember we launched day one of Synth Riders on Quest. We were very excited by the numbers, and I had a client at the office at the time, and we were celebrating, and she saw our enthusiasm, and she's like, hey, don't get too excited. This is your bread and butter. but a couple years later, it was evident that it wasn't. Quest 2 really showed us that, and then we started like saying no and letting go of big gigs on the agency side. I think our clients were very ?, but we saw the writing was on the wall. So I think our timing was great. And as you probably know, the waves of the headset releases really, especially on Meta's side, really help you.
Totally.
It's not a hockey stick growth. It's like there's periodic cycles of growth, and that's amazing.
Yeah. And have you guys found that, because you really actively support Synth Riders, have you found that there is sort of like a cadence or anything? Like how often do you guys release updates? Because I've played it and I follow it, but I'm not in it quite enough to know sort of like exactly what that release cadence is.
Yeah. I think the first year we did a lot of feature updates. Like we were the first rhythm game to do multiplayer. February 2020, that's when that came out. We did like spiral mode and power-ups and a lot of like just like spin mode. Those were all through 2020. And now we do a lot of regular music updates, about 3 to 4 big music updates a year.
Okay. Very cool. And I would also imagine, because you guys are doing a mix of, I guess it's a mix of originals or commissioned stuff, and then also some licensed stuff, which I guess it helps that you guys have a background as a music, because you said it was a music magazine, right?
Yeah, that's right. No, that really helped. We started with like synthwave music, because the game really comes from almost like a love letter to synthwave. And then we started expanding, Electro Swing was our first pack where we had somebody like Parapstellar, who does have a major label background, and then kind of ladder up to artists like Muse and Bruno Mars and Lindsey Stirling. It was from the indie ground up, and now we do a mix. We like that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's sort of very much where we're at as well with some of the licensing stuff. Although I will say that sort of like for us, we often find, for the type of game that we're doing, it's easier for us to often license the IP than it is to get the music. The music rights are often way more difficult to get, or difficult to sort of like quantify, maybe just because of how the licensing terms of music usually work. It's just not set up kind of how we're set up. But that's when just talking about getting some of those big names, that is a big challenge to get all that music stuff. So.
We've literally some of the contracts that we've done for the major labels have become templates for them, and so it shows you how new this whole medium is, even for them. So that's been pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, I'm also kind of curious to pick your brain a little bit too, and just sort of like, this has been a very interesting year. So you can tell from the release date that it's sort of like right around Christmas 2023. So Quest 3 is now out. mixed reality people are talking about. You're one of the games that really works well with mixed reality. It feels like that's a challenging thing to develop for, but is it too early to sort of see for you guys? Like, are a lot of people playing in mixed reality? Do you guys see that as a big sort of like, yeah, just like, what are your thoughts on, yeah, kind of some of the new emerging tech stuff?
Yeah, no, actually, we started with mixed reality. I think our first instinct was to go like, oh yeah, this is just another layer to what we're doing. You just add it at the end of the process. And then once we actually started doing it, we realized, oh no, this changes the thinking of things and how you conceptualize. Yeah. And even starting like, you know, we really customized our portal design and then started adding layers of interaction into our node specials, sort of in mixed reality, which added this whole other layer, and then, you know, connected our portals. Like that whole thing was a layer process. So I think what the first thing was actually developing for mixed reality, you realize how rich it is and how much more there is to it and how we're just scratching the surface. And then in terms of user feedback, like, we do see a pretty high percentage of our users turn it on, and we also see them be more engaged with the game. So yeah, we've been very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I could say, yeah, we're such an environmentally focused game that it is way harder for us to really incorporate something like mixed reality. And we do have some things that we're working on, but yeah, you guys are just so perfectly sort of like posed for that as well. I would imagine some of the other trends that, oh, go ahead.
It's interesting because we didn't see that because we're like this cyberpunk aesthetic game that is meant to be fully immersive. So
yeah,
we actually thought that we were the wrong game. Our team even pushed back against doing mixed reality. So I guess I'd encourage you to think about it differently because it does. I think now that we see that we sort of think differently about it. Like even with our game, our fighting game, that's still the thought. Like this mixed reality doesn't really suit it. But as we think about it more, we're finding ways to be clever with it.
Yeah. And I could definitely see, I mean, we're definitely talking about something. I mean, it's even too early for us to say exactly what that would be, but we're absolutely playing around in that space. And yeah, we're hoping to do something that will take advantage of that, but it will, I think that it's a fundamentally different sort of thing than what we're doing where you and I are sort of like sharing a virtual space. And I think that the bigger challenge with us is that so many people of our players play it multiplayer. And unless you're physically in the same room, it's difficult to sort of like have a shared multiplayer experience when you're in different room shapes and just that sort of thing. So it can be done. It just, you've got to limit it probably quite a bit more. So
Yeah.
I know one of the other big ones that also seems like you guys are in a really good spot for hand tracking, especially Vision Pro only supporting hand tracking, no controllers. But I'd imagine that you guys are also like, in fact, do you already have a hand tracking only mode or is it still controllers?
No, it's actually been difficult for us because the game is the main mechanic is precision based.
Oh yeah.
And so like when it comes to the higher levels of difficulty, it does prove challenging.
Oh, gotcha.
But we are like things are like the SDKs are getting better, the technology is getting better, and we're almost there. But we've also thought about in terms of limiting levels of difficulty for hand tracking, and we're sort of opening ourselves up to that. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess that's mostly the lag issue is probably what you're talking about, where there's just the hands are just a little bit too slow. Although I will also say that probably one of the other things that, especially for your game, I would imagine that the haptics is such a big part of that. Just the vibrations that you get from the controller, like that's really what gives you the feedback that it would feel. Yeah, I'd imagine that it would lose quite a bit without even just the haptics going on.
That's right. And that was definitely another concern point was just haptics, which, you know, it's trade-offs, right? I think. And that's part of it is like, I think the team has had to learn how to embrace what you gain and sort of let go of what you lose. Because in some of it, it's like, oh, that's not Synth Riders if it doesn't have this. And it's like, well, with the emerging tech, you have to keep embracing where it can go.
Mm-hmm. yeah, I know even before we started recording, we were lamenting a little bit of just sort of like, it's sort of a blessing and a curse to be sort of like right on the cutting edge of a lot of this stuff, because means that things change very quickly underneath you often, as the industry changes or new devices come out, or just, yeah, sort of like it's really, really exciting to be where we're at right now, but also, yeah, it can be a real challenge when suddenly what you had sort of built something on changes underneath you. So
Yeah, exactly. And it's literally happening all the time. You can't step back.
Yeah. So I know one of the other things that you were, I know one of the other things you were talking about a little bit before we started recording was, because you guys are also doing a lot of work within Horizon Worlds. Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of the projects that you're doing in there?
Yeah. Basically, we started working with them back in July of 2020. And so we've seen the platform evolve quite a bit. By the way, Lucas, we're going to have to do this in our game as well. Like, you're just putting me to shame here. I just got to point that out, man.
This is part of my strategy. But no, we should do a little, because you can do the multiplayer. It might be harder to talk while playing an active rhythm game, but...
Well... Depends on the experience you got. I mean, this
is true.
I gotta say, this is difficult for me.
That's